this morning with the music. It sounded like we had like a company of angels, huh? Acoustics in here. Okay, so Claudia, could you open up in prayer? Okay, so far, we've gone through the first chapter of Titus. Is that loud enough? And we know that Titus is a younger man than Paul and has been given the ministry task of being left on the island on Crete. And there are already churches in place there, and they are in need of spiritual leadership. Verse 5, chapter 1 says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I have directed you." And Paul really is writing this letter to Titus not only to encourage him, but this letter will also be able to be shown to the congregation, to the churches, so that they will understand why things are going to be changed. As a letter backed by apostolic authority, and as the church is to be set in order with regard to its leaders, and Paul lists details on what kind of men that should qualify to be a leader in the church, but also what their duties would be. Now, we'll look at chapter 2 more in detail in the following weeks, but today is just going to be a real long introduction. The focus changes from pastors and elders to the people, from elders to the congregation, from leaders to laity. And chapter 2 here is really all about a healthy church, the character of a healthy church. The section is very practical, it's very specific, straightforward, it's instructive. It's given to every segment of the church so that the church in itself will be sound, it will be healthy. And we looked, and we should also be concerned about the health of the church. For we know that the Lord is concerned about the health of the church, about how sound his body is. The Lord Jesus is concerned for it, because it's his church. And he wants it to be the way it should be, so that he gets the glory. And this chapter is really about the concerns for the church's spiritual health. We looked last week on the word sound. So that word sound in the Greek, it was for where we get the word hygiene from it, which translates to healthy. So sound and healthy are kind of interchangeable here. 5 times Paul uses the word in this letter to Titus, putting an emphasis on the need for spiritual health. You cannot read the pastoral letters about hearing that the Lord is very concerned about the healthy doctrine, the healthy living, for the two are linked. Titus 1:9 says, "So that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine." Verse 13 says, "That they may be sound in the faith." Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says, "In your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech," which is talking about the consequences of sound doctrine, which is sound speech. Titus has this theme of teaching sound doctrine and the call of sound living, which produces sound speech. And we can substitute healthy for sound. Healthy doctrine, healthy teaching, healthy living, healthy speech, and which is very important. That's in contrast to what we talked about last time regarding unsound doctrine, unsound teaching, unsound living. Unsound doctrine will produce unhealthy living, unhealthy speech. And again, you can read you can read 1st and 2nd Timothy. But Titus, you can't read 1 and 2 Timothy or Titus without reading about false teachers. Those empty talkers, those rebellious men, those deceivers who upset the whole family because they teach what they shouldn't be teaching. False teachers who turn to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. And verses 1 through 16 says, they know God. They say they know God, but you can tell they don't by the way they live and by the way they act and by their deeds. They're detestable, they're disobedient, and they're worthless for any good deeds. Which is a sick, unwell, unhealthy doctrine. That has the result of a sick and unhealthy life. And if you fast forward to Titus 3:9, it says, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. They are unhealthy. When it goes on to say to reject them in verse 10, reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. You can see that God is concerned for his church to have healthy teaching, healthy living. If the church is to be spiritual healthy, it is to be sound, it is to have to enjoy well-being, it must have sound words, sound doctrine. It must be sound, healthy, spiritual living. I mentioned before that it is all over the New Testament. Not only Paul had a concern for healthy doctrine and holy living, but here in Titus chapter 2, we have a very detailed look at what a godly congregation is and how it functions. And we are going to look at some specific healthy Christian living. This chapter looks at older men, older women, younger women, and younger men. And it also talks about slaves, which are really employees. And what God tells each of us in our own category, what you are to do. And the Holy Spirit lists a series of mandates, and they're not suggestions, but really commands. And when we look at these, and I'll warn you, they might not be very popular because it really goes against what some contemporary thinking is. But here again, it is the Word of God. And here in Titus, the task, and any spiritual leader, to hold the church accountable for healthy living by results of healthy doctrine. Chapter 2 jumps right in with a very strong opening that God wants his church to follow. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Literally in the Greek, but you. Which is in contrast for chapter 1, verse 16. So they profess to know God, but their deeds, they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Why? Because they teach things they ought not to teach. They teach deceptive lies. They are caught up in Jewish myths and human commandments. They turn away from the truth. In contrast, but you, Titus, in contrast of all the unhealthy false teachings coming from false teachers, you speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine. You be committed to the health of the church. There are too many people preaching error and are making the church weak by unhealthy teaching. And the words are worthless for any good work, verse 16 says. The word worthless in the Greek is adikaimos, means reprobate, cast away, rejected. But you, Titus, speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Now we know that any church leader is certainly called for this responsibility. But this just doesn't mean speak sound doctrine, for that has already been covered in verse 9, chapter 1, where the leaders are to instruct. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, which is to hold fast and exhort with sound doctrine. Now the emphasis is saying you must speak the things which are properly associated with sound doctrine. Or in other words, those things that help in daily living. Teach the practical things for every life that is true to doctrine. Which is to say, you don't just fill the people's heads with doctrine, proper theology. You must teach the required behavior that is consistent with sound doctrine. Healthy teaching, and then instruct about healthy living. You don't just teach it without encouraging the application, at least to some degree. In verse 1, chapter 2, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." The word speak, and yours might say teach, I don't know what your translation is, but the Greek word is laleo, which is correctly translated to speak. It is not the Greek word kouroussos, which means to preach, and it is not the Greek word didaskalio, which means to teach, but the word here in Titus chapter 2:1 means to talk. And it is in the present tense, which means keep on talking concerning the things which are suitable in healthy living, healthy doctrine. Continue talking about the kind of behavior that fits the truth. And Paul is saying to Titus, keep on track. Don't surrender. Don't fall prey to the bad behavior. Don't get intimidated. Don't slow down. Don't get off course. No matter how many want to resist you, no matter how you feel, for there will be times when they won't want to endure sound doctrine. There will be a time where their ears want to be tickled, 2 Timothy 4. So keep on preaching the word. For there is going to be resistance. There is going to be opposition to holy living. But you must not give in to the pressure. Keep on talking about these things. The idea here is not so much preaching and teaching behind the pulpit in the formal sense, but more of pastoral work. When the pastor comes down from the pulpit and he helps people see face to face the truth and how it applies to their life. And what you're telling them that they are the things that are fitting. Speak the things which are fitting. And this word is a compound word in the Greek. But it's prepo. It means proper or how it should be. You tell them things, what they need to do, so that their lifestyle is in line with doctrine that they believe. It calls for behavior, action. It calls for living a life that is complete accordance with the truth. Just like Paul teaches in the first 11 chapters of Romans, he teaches doctrine in chapter 12, it starts with, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Because of all these things are true, these mercies of God that are true, these mercies that God have given you in salvation are true, then you need to live a life that represents that truth. After Paul writes three chapters in Ephesians of doctrine, chapter 4 starts, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling which you have been called." That is the calling of how to live. After two chapters of doctrine in Colossians, it starts in chapter 3. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Or in other words, here's how you live your life. In Philippians, three chapters of doctrine issues, he says, "Therefore, my brother, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." And then he goes on in chapter 4, a long list of required behaviors. So that pattern is that the Lord wants his churches to know his truth and that they live like they know it and that it is true. And if you think about it, what value does truth have if it's not lived out? And that they live like they know it. And if you think about it, again, why would truth even be a matter of fact if it doesn't show in your life. The Lord wants a pure virgin, a pure bride. He wants a holy church. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "How holy you are to be." It says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy. Be holy yourself, and also in your behavior. Be like the Holy One who called you, for he wants you to be holy as he is holy." Holy living is proper. It's suitable, fitting. Holy living is inseparable from sound doctrine. The pastor and elders that are called to lead the Lord's church are to lead the church to teach the people healthy doctrine and to call them to healthy living. I don't know if you've ever had food poisoning, had a bad clam, something rotten, but didn't know it until later. Bad food produces bad health. Some food poisoning can even kill you. So can bad teaching. Disease teaching can make you very sick. But on the other hand, eating too much meat can make you sick as well. I remember getting so caught up in apologetics, and I enjoyed it, that I was pushing God out. It was unhealthy. It was unhealthy spiritually. I had the wrong proportions. It is easy to overindulge in healthy doctrine, but not healthy living. It can create sickness as well. Healthy doctrine is therefore applied and is exercised and used to gain its benefits. Healthy teaching, sound doctrine, is followed up by the call of healthy living. And that is what verse 1 is saying. You must continually, in every situation, every conversation, all the time, be calling the people in the church to live a holy life that is suitable for truth. And the implication is that these pastors and elders are to be bold and relentless in doing so. Hank Hinegraaff would say, "Are you willing to do for the truth what cults do for a lie?" So chapter 2 comes under the light of verse 1. There are some really specific instructions that are demanding of us. And then if you go to the end of chapter, verse 15, Paul closes this section of kind of a bracket verse phrase. It says, "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." These things that I have just said, speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Verse 1 speaks these things, say it even if it is not popular and not accepted by everyone. Well, there may be some discussion about it. There might be someone who has forgotten. It may not always be in their minds as it ought to be. So continually, boldly, relentlessly talk healthy doctrine. Like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, it says, "You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now back to Titus 2:15, it says, on the positive, to exhort, urge, encourage, compel. When you come alongside people, this is how you obey this command. This is the way you must live. On the negative side, it says to reprove them, rebuke them. And the whole idea is this face-to-face confrontation with the purpose of convicting them of their sin. Paul is saying that you, Titus, you as a spiritual leader have this responsibility to continually have a conversation, whether it is behind the pulpit or among the people in the church or even in their home. You are always speaking about these standards of holy living. constantly coming alongside people, encouraging them to obey. And when they don't, you rebuke them. And at the end of verse 15, it says, with authority, with all authority. Is this Titus's authority? Is this the authority of his office? No. It is the authority of the Word of God. Titus doesn't get his authority from being close to Paul. It was the Word of God through Paul. It is the Word of God. It is the divine command. You can speak these things as divine commands. The word authority is epitage, which is to command. And then Paul ends the sentence with, let no one disregard you, which is really for the congregation to hear. You better not disregard what Titus is saying. The word of God is not a book of suggestions or a book of insight. It is, as Psalm says in 19:8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening to the eyes. Matthew 7:28, Mark 1:22, and Luke 4:32 records Jesus as speaking as one who has authority. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have, what? Commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So that little warning at the end of verse 14 in Titus, let no one disregard you. It means it is really a warning to anyone who disregards Titus and the commands of Scripture and its authority. Telling Titus, don't back down, just like he told Timothy to. Don't let anyone despise your youth. Just continue to be an example. Hold your ground. That word disregard is a compound word here where the preposition is in front of the phroneo in the verb which means to think, which has something to do with the brain. And the whole word is paraphroneo. The word peri is the preposition in front. We get the word perimeter from. It means outside something. The word disregard literally means to think around, to try to rationalize around you, give an excuse, to try to justify. And Paul is saying, don't let anyone do that to you. Don't let anyone try to get around these commands. Some of these commands here in Titus, like older women are not to gossip, younger women are to be keepers of the home, young men are to be sensible. So there are a list of commands here. Here in chapter 2, but people are going to say, but you don't understand. That was then, this is now. Titus, don't let people think around you. Don't let them justify, rationalize by evading these commands. Titus might have quoted Jesus from Luke's letter, Luke 10:16, says, the one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Strong words. Jesus is saying that if they listen to my apostles, then they are listening to me. If they reject you, they reject me. And if they reject me, they are rejecting the Father who sent me. The point is, if someone speaks the word of God, his truth, and you reject it, you're rejecting God. And Paul is telling Titus, don't let him do that. Our Lord wants a healthy church, a church that is taught healthy doctrine and a healthy life that is healthy spiritually. And Titus and all the pastors that he puts in order and all the leaders in the church have the authority to keep on speaking and exhorting and rebuking if necessary, but to do it consistently in love with the authority of Scripture, and don't be disregarded. For God wants a pure church, a spotless bride, a chaste virgin. What makes a healthy church? What makes a church sound? or what does one look like? Stay tuned for next week. Lord willing, we will continue with this topic on a healthy church. But if you get a chance, please go back and read Titus. I think you'll get a little bit more out of it than what I'm just speaking. But next week's going to be a little bit more piercing.